This episode of the Columbia Basin Herald Studio Basin Podcast is brought to you by the Moses Lake Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber works to help businesses in and around Moses Lake flourish through networking opportunities, member-to-member savings for products and services, and connecting businesses with the resources they need to make Moses Lake a wonderful place to live, work, and play. For more information, visit moseslake.com or call the Chamber at 509-765-7888. Again, that's 509-765-7888.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ian Bavona. I'm the sports reporter here with the Columbia Basin Herald. I'm joined here pretty much as usual by senior reporter Cheryl Schweitzer.
That would be me.
Yeah. And then we have another guest here. I don't know if we can call him a guest.
Colleague.
Colleague, yeah, we'll go with that.
A colleague that is rarely heard on the podcast.
Yes, I think this is your second appearance on, right? Yes, it's staff writer Gabriel Davis, for those at home. Cheryl, this is the road
master,
episode.
Master of all things Othello,
oh,
by
yes,
the way.
Yes,
yes.
Othello, Mattawa, and Warden.
Yes.
Gabe is.
Absolutely. Well, Cheryl,
he has his finger on the pulse in those towns.
We were talking a bit before hopping
in
the studio.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you again.
No, that's okay. We were talking a bit before we in the studio today. We said this is going to be the road episode
of
the Studio Basin Podcast. We've got quite a couple of headlines about roads here and there.
The joke that I insisted I was going to do is on the road again, which it is. This is a very busy year for road projects in Grant County and around this area. I'll do a follow-up and get a little bit more information on what's going on in Adams County. But for today, we're talking Grant County, and we got road work.
Mm-hmm.
First one is that State Route 17 through Moses Lake, where it's two lanes, basically, from Patton Boulevard to the Interstate 90 interchange, is going to be repaved. They're going to take off the top 2 inches, pour new asphalt, and that project starts April 1st. They will be working at night, 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. When the road work is going on, there will be flagging and traffic control through the work area.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get to, I think it's Stratford Road and then another bridge, there will be some detours available. So the road needs to be repaved. It's time. It was going to be done last year, but they had a lot of work to do, so they pushed it off to this year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's here now, so be prepared when you're driving through Moses Lake to pay attention to that, because if it's at night, you may get a traffic stoppage. If it's the day, it might be a little bit bumpy through some of those areas. Just know that the season of road work is here. That's project number one.
Mm-hmm.
Then project number two will affect people traveling across the Columbia River at Vantage, which is a whole lot of people on Interstate 90. They are beginning a 3-year project, a little over three years, to redo the deck at the Vantage Bridge. And anybody who's driven over that bridge knows that there are occasionally spots when you can look through and see the river, which is not good. So, going to replace the whole deck. It's going to take a while. And it's going to mean that the traffic lanes in each direction are put down to one lane during work hours. And through the end of May this year, the work zone will be open Monday through Friday. But after that, June, July, August, September, October, it's going to be 7 days a week. There are some exceptions for Memorial Day weekend, the week of the 4th of July, and Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And in those cases, they won't be working on the weekend when traffic is heavier. But any other time this summer, pretty much, you can count that there's going to be it's going to slow down a little bit at the Vantage Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And so just, they're asking people to take that into account. They expect a lot of, when it goes to 7 days a week and they're working Friday night and Sunday afternoon, there's going to be people coming and going from places where they spent the weekend. So they expect really heavy traffic at those times and ask that you would take a detour. just be prepared. This is going to probably last through fall of 2027. So just know when you want to go to, if you're from, you know, if you're in Moses Lake and you want to go to Seattle or Ellensburg, or you're in Ellensburg and you want to come this way, or you're in Seattle and you want to come this way, or you're in Spokane and you want to go that way, it's going to take a while when you get to the Vantage Bridge, especially on weekends.
Make sure to take some extra time in your
trips. Take some extra time.
Leave a little bit earlier. Yeah.
There's a lot of times I've seen people drive through there, and I swear to God, they left Spokane at 11 and told people they'd be in Seattle at 1.
Wow.
And I mean, that's not true, but you know what I mean. They drive like that.
Yeah.
So if you really need to be in Seattle at 1, make sure you at least leave at 10:30.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be slow through that corridor. And then in the county, there are other projects which we'll get to later, but there are a couple of bridges that are closed right now. One southeast of Warden, one between Moses Lake and the Port of Moses Lake on Road N. The Road N project is a little bit further ahead because the problem is a little bit less of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The county engineer, David Brand, told me that they got a phone call from somebody, they don't know who said, "I drove across your bridge and it wobbled," which is bad for a bridge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they went out and looked, and the way the bridge was set up, it had been built into the hillside, but they hadn't dug down to the bedrock.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of the sand and stuff had just been washed away
mm-hmm.
over the years. So there's a big hole back there. Big hole on a wobbly bridge, not a good thing.
Yeah.
So they're working on that. It is closed for right now. It will be closed at least through the end of the year, and they're not sure how long after that, but a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was jacked up on Tuesday. I went out to look at what they were doing, and they had jacked it up, moved it so it's on a firm support so they can get back there and clean out all the loose dirt
mm-hmm.
and get the foundation down on bedrock. And then there's Bridge 247, which is east-southeast of Warden. And that they were actually going to put a temporary bridge there because that project's another one that's going to take at least through 2027, they think. But the reason for taking the bridge out was to widen the irrigation canal there. And while they were doing that, somebody hit what's left of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So that got wobbly.
Yeah.
And so they just knocked it down. So there's no bridge there at all right now. And there is a detour in place for that, but just be aware if you're going out that direction. That bridge that was there isn't there anymore. There's just a big hole. And in a couple of weeks, there'll be water at the bottom of the hole.
Yeah.
So just, you know, think about that. And then one more project.
One more road.
For this week, one more road. People who drive in the Royal City area no doubt know Road 12. And Dotson Road. And there's a stop sign with a yellow caution light, and that's going to be taken out and replaced with a roundabout.
Mm.
And county officials, again, Mr. Brent said they really want to get that done this year. And that's just, it's going to look like the one, if anybody's driven through Ephrata, there's one at the bottom of the railroad bridge there.
Mm.
That you can see people have driven over.
Yep.
And that is how that one's going to be. You're going to be able, if you're in a big truck and you can't turn that corner, you can drive over it. He suggested don't do it at 50 miles an hour. You will get launched in the air. but that one is scheduled, if they can get what they're having trouble with, is getting enough property around the edges to build what they want to build. Once that part is done, they want to do that, and hopefully they want to get that done this year. So Royal City catches up with the rest of the Grant County and gets its own roundabout. Everybody has a roundabout now.
Exciting times.
The Royal Roundabout is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Royal City Roundabout.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And for the moment, like I said, there's a couple others that we'll talk about later, but for the moment, those are the ones that are out there actively slowing traffic down as we speak. But we should also mention that you're going to get stopped if you're going north of Soap Lake, where they are scaling back the rock face.
Mm-hmm.
If you hit it at the wrong time of day, you're going to get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be there at the top of the hour, and they let you out. They let you through for about 15 minutes. That's also on SR-17. That's right north of Soap Lake. So just know this is going to be one of those years when there's stuff going on all over the place. And that, for the moment, is all the roads.
Does that concludes our road talk
that,
for this
that
week?
Is that like car talk?
I guess we'll figure out.
That's a PBS series, I think.
Mm.
Car talk.
Mm, interesting.
Or it used to be. Not at all interesting, but there you go. Anyway.
Alrighty, and we've got Gabe in the studio today to talk a little bit about the Adams County Pet Rescue.
Yeah, so Adams County Pet Rescue has been... We've been covering it pretty frequently for the past few months. And when we started covering it, the worry was that they were about to go under if they didn't get more donations or more revenue. The good news is that was 5.5 months ago, and their doors are still open.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not doing too badly. The most recent significant news was that they declined to accept the offer from the city of Othello to re-up their contract for 2024. So as of the first of the year, they are no longer accepting dogs from within the city limits of Othello.
Mm-hmm.
So they went with just their contract with Adams County. That eliminates about a third of the dogs that they were taking in. They were, last year, I think they took about 300 dogs in from the city alone.
Mm-hmm.
And they've
that's
said
a lot of dogs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've said in statements that that's about $300,000 in expenses, and the city was offering about $75,000. So they said they declined the offer because the expenses of taking city dogs did completely outweighed the revenue of the actual contract with the city.
Mm-hmm.
Did the city make other arrangements?
Yes, so the city is now currently contracted for a year with another, I believe, Moses Lake-based organization, Hands and Paws.
Okay.
So they took the same contract that Adams County Pet Rescue declined.
Okay.
So it's a $75,000 flat fee, and they will be doing just sheltering services.
Mm-hmm.
So the city is now 100% in charge of animal control and dog pickup.
Within the city limits.
Within the city limits, yeah.
Okay.
Most recently with Adams County Pet Rescue, because they are no longer contracting with the city, they have said that they have more breathing room now.
Mm-hmm.
And aren't, they are still full at capacity, but they have more of a buffer.
Mm-hmm.
in filling that capacity. So the city of Warden recently met with ACPR to discuss the possibility of accepting more dogs. But Adams County Pet Rescue said that they still needed more funds. And so the city council, Warden City Council, approved last week an updated payment. So instead of $50 per dog, which is what their previous agreement was with Adams County Pet Rescue, they will now be paying $150 per dog.
Mm-hmm.
If they transfer any dogs from Warden to Adams County Pet Rescue. Mm-hmm. Previously, for the last few months, they had not been able to transfer any dogs to Adams County Pet Rescue because ACPR was too full. So hopefully now they have less dogs that they're taking from Othello. They will have a little more space for some dogs from Warden, and Warden can move. Their kennel space is limited.
Mm-hmm.
In the Warden Animal Control. So hopefully now they will be able to pick up more dogs in Warden city limits. And ACPR will get a little bit more revenue from that, assuming that they accept the dogs. However,
there's always
it
an
can
hour.
Never be easy. Yeah.
Yes.
Adams County Pet Rescue is experiencing trouble finding veterinarians to do the spaying and neutering and looking over all of their
mm-hmm.
dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Because their previous veterinarians have changed the way that they operate and only can come out to Adams County Pet Rescue, according to Chris Schuler, the city administrator for Warden. This is secondhand, but she said that the way WFC works now is that they can only come out every maybe twice a year. So much, much less frequently, meaning that ACPR has to hold dogs longer before they can spay or neuter those mm-hmm. those dogs mm-hmm. or get the services that they need. So there should be hopefully more openings, but not possibly not that many. Mm. So.
Okay. And it should be pointed out that the underlying problem is that there's just a lot of stray dogs out there.
A lot yeah. of stray dogs.
A lot of stray cats. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the ACPR has said that going into this year, their focus is still on education and getting as many people to spay and neuter their dogs as possible. Because that's, as a no-kill shelter, that's the only way that they
mm-hmm.
see as a permanent solution to reducing stray
okay.
animals. So.
Okay.
Very interesting. Something
people
that's
should
going...
take better care of their four-legged friends.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's something that's going around this whole area, not
yeah.
just in Adams County.
No.
I know
Grant
so...
County Animal Outreach has troubles. Soap Lake has troubles.
Mm-hmm.
Quincy
mm-hmm.
has troubles.
Yeah, I know up in Soap Lake and in Ephrata, I see, every time I go outside, I see, it feels like I see either a stray dog or a stray cat. So.
Yeah.
But it's good to see that people are working on the issue and trying their best to get it resolved.
Trying
to the
do
best
something,
they can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Alrighty. I think that's going to do it for our
okay.
news segment, unless anyone else has anything to add. Want to get
no.
into some sports?
We do.
Alrighty.
The next segment of the Studio Basin Podcast is brought to you by Sue's Gift Boutique at 212 West 3rd Avenue in Moses Lake. Stop by Sue's to explore a variety of items, including ladies' apparel, candles, hobo purses, items for infants, Ilse Jacobson shoes, and jewelry. Stop in and support a Columbia Basin business with local roots.
Absolutely. All
okay,
right.
Ian, so.
Well, I've been to a lot of soccer matches this week. I've been to three since Friday, and two of them ended in draws.
Okay.
So. But luckily, there's been a good amount of goals scored for
this
us.
This is the first week, probably first full week,
mm-hmm.
of the spring sports season.
Yes.
So we've got a lot going on, football, right, sure. Baseball, softball, soccer, track, tennis, and golf.
Mm-hmm. Good job. You got all of them. Sometimes I forget exactly all the sports that are going on. But yes, it's a crazy time of the year. We actually just finished up our spring sports preview, one that covers...
And a darn good one, by the way, too.
Yes, all of us pitched in a lot and made it look pretty on the paper and
well,
all that good
and
stuff.
And it should be mentioned, Ian had done yeoman's work, Matt Classic, regional basketball, and state basketball. Then he had to turn around the next week, and we produced the spring sports preview.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only fair that the rest of us should pitch in and help.
Yep.
And I appreciate that. That was a huge help by y'all. But speaking of spring sports, let's get into a little basin soccer.
Right.
So we'll start with the first game I went to last week. I went to Quincy's home opener, or season opener, really.
Okay.
Against Overlake, ended in a 1-1 draw. It was actually a rematch of last year's game where Quincy traveled to Overlake and won 3-2 after
okay.
being down 2-0 early. Overlake scored in the 35th minute and then held a lead for most of the remainder of the game until the second half stoppage time when Quincy scored a goal from the corner on a shot by senior Guillermo Gomez that tied the game. And second half stoppage time, there's not a whole lot of time left to get a goal there, but each team had a couple of shots but just couldn't convert for goals. So the Jackrabbits opened their season with a 0-0-1 record. So when in these non-league games, teams don't play
overtime.
Or go to penalty
no,
kicks
if
or
it,
anything like
if
that
it was a, if it was a league game, there would have been overtime and, if necessary, what they call a shootout, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, actually, a lot of teams get started with league play this week, so we'll get to...
Okay.
Some of the ties will be thrown out
so
of the
no
picture.
More of those, so, no more of those win-loss-tie things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll just go straight to a shootout, and then it'll play itself out from there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so the next game...
Yeah, continuing chronologically, this time we actually had a winner. Othello defeated Connell 4-1. All four of the Huskies' goals came in the first half, including two in the first 15 minutes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I was talking with their head coach, Bernie Garza, after the game, and he was saying how the Huskies actually went scoreless during their two Jamboree games 2 days earlier before the match, so they were looking forward to getting out there
just,
and scoring some goals.
They were just holding back. The
yeah.
Jamborees didn't even
they were getting ready for the first half against
yes.
Connell. You know, it's a rivalry game. They wanted to show out strong, and they definitely did, getting those four first-half goals to win 4-1 over the Eagles. But yeah, and then our last soccer game we had in the paper this week, I was at the Moses Lake and Ephrata soccer game up in Ephrata. The game ended in a 3-3 draw, of course, another draw. But it was actually pretty exciting.
It's a soccer thing, man.
It was a pretty exciting draw. I mean, Moses Lake led 3-1 heading into the last 10 minutes of the game, and then Ephrata scored two goals over that last 10-minute span, two of them coming within 3 minutes of each other. So it looked like that momentum really just kind of
got going for them. I bet there's some Moses Lake players that ran a lot of laps after that.
But yeah, I was talking to Ephrata senior or Ephrata junior Dominic Furman after the game. He scored that game tying goal in the 76th minute, if I remember correctly. He was saying how the team just kind of had a mentality switch and went on the attack. They ended up taking some more shots and more shots converted into goals for them. So good for them getting that draw against Moses Lake. Obviously a 4A school playing a 2A school.
Yeah.
I'm sure that got the juices flowing a little bit for them. But yeah, those were the games I went to this week. We did have one other story this week. This actually wasn't in the sports section.
Right.
It was in the news section.
It's on the front page, actually.
Yes, it was. In Thursday's edition of the Columbia Basin Herald. A couple months ago, I talked with Ephrata High School senior Ben Bellino, who was involved in a car accident in October of 2022. And then the accident led to a long stay in Sacred Heart Hospital over in Spokane. And then it actually eventually led to him having to amputate his left leg. Bellino, he was an athlete. He competed in cross country and track and field for the Tigers before his accident, and then came back. Actually, I think it was just a couple weeks after fully being released from the hospital, he was in the wheelchair and wanted to get back into athletics. since he got back and started competing in wheelchair athletics. He won 5 state championships in a 7-month span. He won the state titles in the 100, 400, 800, and 1600 meters wheelchair events and track.
Wow.
And then he won a cross-country wheelchair division championship as well. So it was a cool story to write. I got to talk with Ben and his mom just a little bit about what their whole journey was like, what his junior year was like for him, because
he spent most of it in the hospital.
Yeah, he did. Just kind of what it was like getting back into athletics and doing all the things that he loves again. He's going on to play wheelchair basketball at Eastern Washington University, so we talked a bit about how that opportunity came about, and he's a great kid.
Yeah,
it was nice
really
talking to
nice
him.
Kid.
And I'm wishing nothing but the best for him as he
yes.
continues his athletic career beyond the high school level. That was really cool to see and talk with him about. So,
and that story is great. If you know nothing else with the Columbia Basin Herald this week, pick up Thursday's edition or look online and read that story, because it's a terrific story.
Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate that. And if you're interested in checking out either our spring sports preview, I believe that was in the March 8th edition.
Yeah,
of
last
the
Friday.
Yes, the last Friday, March 8th edition of the... I almost said of the Studio Basin podcast, of the
Columbia Basin
Herald. And then our golf preview, where we talked with golf coaches from teams all around the basin. That was in the Wednesday edition of the Columbia Basin Herald. So feel free to check that out. All those stories are available online as well at www.columbiabasinherald.com.
And from now on to through the end of May, you will have a veritable cornucopia. Of stories about all of these different sports, most of them written by Ian. As we go forward, baseball, softball, track, tennis.
Yes, it's all fun though. Getting back outside, the weather's starting to warm up a little bit.
Yep.
Didn't get as much snow as I would have wanted this year, but it's nice to have the warm weather back.
I don't mind that we didn't get any snow.
Come on.
I
lived in the South for most of my life.
I
didn't get to experience it that much.
The day is probably coming when we will get that bad winter with like when the only time it warms up is to snow and then it slams down 10 degrees and there's like 3 feet out there in March.
Oh, sign me up.
No, thank you.
And then we'll see.
Yeah, you guys Washington natives are making fun of me for enjoying the snow.
Well, actually, Ian, I gotta say, I'm glad you like it out here.
Oh, I love it. It's awesome.
Okay.
Alrighty. Well, I think that's going to do it for our sports segment and for our episode this week. Thank you all for tuning in.
All right. The Studio Basin Podcast is produced by the Columbia Basin Herald. a local newspaper serving Grant and Adams counties in Washington State. Our publisher is Clint Schroeder, and our regional general manager is Bob Richardson. Congratulations to Bob, who got married last week. Our managing editor is Rob Miller, and our reporting staff consists of me, senior reporter Cheryl Schweitzer, staff writer and paginator Joel Martin, sports reporter Ian Rabona, and staff writer Gabriel Davis, who joined us this week in studio. The Columbia Basin Herald is published 5 days a week in print and online. The paper's website is www.columbiabasinherald.com. To provide feedback on the paper or the podcast, please email us at editor@columbiabasinherald.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week.